John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God. God's word stands forever. As I mentioned, we'll be giving our attention tonight to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide or remain. Let us take time to ask God's blessing on the ministry of the word to our hearts. Let us pray. Our glorious God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you as we have our Bibles open before us and pray that you would come and visit us tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit and apply the Word of God to our hearts. Come, Lord, and teach us tonight. We cannot live on earthly food alone. We need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for us. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. And so we pray tonight you would make us to be more holy, that you would sanctify us, because we've heard your word. May it bear fruit in our own lives, that you would change us and mold us more and more into the image of Christ, that the mind of Christ our Savior would be in us, that his love would be upon us, that we might continue the work, O Lord, that has been begun here, that we'd be faithful servants, that the next generation that rises up after us would find us faithful. So come now and bless this humble means that you have appointed for the building up of your people and to bring others to Christ, the preaching of the Word of God. We ask for your blessing because we need it desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just a little over a month from now, Donna and I will be heading out to my hometown in Iowa City, Iowa, for my high school reunion. We are going away this week for a quick trip to New England for a vacation. And then in August, we'll be taking another break to go to Iowa City. To my high school reunion, my 40th high school reunion. 40 years. Since I finished high school. To some of you, that doesn't seem like much. To others, that means I'm really getting old. A lot has changed in 40 years. Nobody had laptops. No one had home computers. There was a little group of three or four people at my high school that were part of the computer club. Nobody really knew what they did. Not a single person I knew had a cell phone. They weren't around. No one had a GPS system in their car. We used maps to find where we were going. There were no CDs, no DVDs, no iPods or iMacs or anything. A lot has changed. And some of my old friends from high school have certainly changed. I'll see that when I get there, and they'll see that in me. They're in their late 50s, too. I know that some of them I'll recognize right away. Others I don't think I'll recognize. It was that way 15 years ago when we went to my 25th high school reunion. I've been back since. Some I'll have to ask others, who is that? I really hope that there'll be name tags with a picture from high school, you know, on it as well. For those of you younger than me, imagine looking into a mirror and try to picture yourself in the year 2059. 2059, that's 40 years from now. Maybe you could Photoshop a picture of yourself and add some gray hair and a few pounds around the neck and some wrinkles below the eyes. I actually was in Coastland Mall a few weeks ago, and you know where they try to get you to buy stuff or smell stuff in those center things? One guy was standing in some little store, an Israeli guy. He tried to get me to come in and put some skin cream on to remove the bags under my eyes. I said, thank you very much. Yes, my high school 40th reunion is coming up. I know it's going to be a surreal experience to be back home in Iowa City. Some relatives of mine have arranged for Donna and I to go visit the home that I lived in by my parents, or with my parents, that they owned for 30 years. It will be surreal. But for me, the greatest experience of all will be to talk to some of my classmates, those that I know have become Christians, and hear what God has been doing in their lives. Some of my friends who were professing Christians back in 1979 when I graduated no longer are. But others, not many, but others are now living for the Lord and walking with God. That's what I'm most excited about. I'm really looking forward to hearing what they've been doing and how God has been at work in their life, what they've done to serve God. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 15. Walking with Christ, abiding in Christ, and bearing fruit. That's what he's talking about here. A life that bears fruit for God. A life lived for the glory of God. Being an instrument in the hand of the Lord for eternal purposes. Walking in the light of his commands. Discovering where true joy, true success, true happiness is found. And realizing what's really important in life. As I mentioned, I want to focus on one verse tonight from that which we read. A great verse to put to memory. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide or remain, fruit that will last. I want to submit to you that this is what the normal Christian life is all about. This is normal Christianity. This is the way that the Lord works all the time. And I would say, as you look at this little verse, Jesus here lays down three things for those who've come to believe the gospel, if you're a Christian. Verse 16 explains who you are and your purpose in life. There's an outline on the back of the blue bulletin insert if you'd like to follow along. Three things as we look at this text. Jesus explains the way you became a Christian, the purpose of God's grace to you, and the privilege that is yours. The way you became a Christian, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. The purpose of God's grace to you, that you should go and bear fruit, and the privilege that is yours, that your fruit should abide. So let's dig in to this passage tonight. Sometimes you can vividly remember when and where, the time and place that you heard a passage of scripture for the first time, at least that it really jumped out at you. This is one of those times for me. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that would remain. It was the fall of 1985. I was in seminary. I went up to Los Angeles from San Diego, where I was in school, to visit my great aunt, my grandmother's sister. And as I was talking to her, she was a retired missionary from China. She said, "I think you need to go next door and meet my friend, Dr. Norman Taylor." I said, "Why?" And he said, "I think you'll find him interesting." Dr. Taylor was a World War I flying ace. World War I flying ace. He was 92 years old. He had been in air battles over Europe with the Red Baron in those biplanes and triplanes. As I sat down with him, told me his story, and then he took out a Bible and he said, "If you're a Christian, this verse explains who you are and your purpose or calling in life." I never forgot that. This verse explains who you are and your purpose or calling in life. Dr. Norman Taylor wasn't a Christian when he was shot down by the Red Baron. Behind enemy lines, in a foxhole, he prayed that God would rescue him, that God would have mercy on him. His sister had put Bible verses in his flak jacket. He kept pulling them out and reading them. This was one of those verses that he read. He cried out to the Lord to save him and said, "If you rescue me from this foxhole, I'll serve you the rest of my life." Dr. Taylor was rescued, and he went on to become a doctor and serve the rest of his life as a missionary doctor in Mexico. I'll never forget meeting him and hearing this verse for the first time. The setting of these words, when Jesus first spoke them, these are part of the final words of the Lord Jesus. During the Last Supper, he's washed their feet. Judas has left. The betrayal process has begun. And Jesus has told his disciples, "I'm going away. And where I go, you cannot come. But peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." And then in chapter 15, this discourse on the vine. "I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. If you bear fruit, you'll be pruned to bear more fruit." And then these startling words. I think they were startling for the disciples when they first heard them. He says, "By the way, brothers, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you and appointed you." He describes here how you became a Christian. If you believe tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope and Savior, it's because Jesus had mercy on you. He chose you. "You did not choose me. I chose you." Now, probably there was some momentary amazement in the minds of the disciples. Like, wait a minute. I thought we chose to leave our fishing nets and follow you. I remember, Simon Peter might have thought, I remember Andrew came to me and said, "We found the Messiah, come and see him." So I came to see you, to meet you. It was Philip who went to get Nathanael and tell him. I'm sure the disciples were thinking, but wait, we chose you. Oh yes, those things are all true. And you can probably remember back to when you said, "I need a Savior. I need to cry out to God myself. I need mercy. I need forgiveness." But before that, it was God who set his love upon you. The Lord Jesus says, "It was I who chose you." It's the same for any follower of Christ today. It's a question of God's sovereignty. Many want to take it only so far and believe, "Yes, I believe God is in control. Yes, I believe God is sovereign. Yes, I believe he does all things well." But he leaves salvation up to the individual person. God is either sovereign or he's not sovereign. It's a struggle in all of us because the initiative seems to be ours, right? There's a great struggle in the hearts of many Christians because it seems like we're the ones who take the first step. But really, it's all a matter of perspective, because we cannot see God's perspective. We can't see God behind the scenes. We can't see the Lord as the one who draws us. Jesus said, "No one can come to me. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." So there's a struggle because the initiative seems to be ours. And there's a struggle, I think, because it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that God would draw some and not others. And yet, the Lord makes his sovereign purpose clear. It's all of grace from beginning to end. We have no contribution ourselves except the sin that made it necessary, right? It's all of God's grace. It's all of God's grace. And the result is it removes any pride or conceit or arrogance. We can't look at anybody and say, "I'm glad I figured it out. I wish you would." No, it's all of the Lord, right? He is the one who came to us. He is the one who drew us. He is the one who opened our eyes to see the seriousness of our situation. He is the one who opened our ears to hear. We were deaf before to the gospel. He is the one who opened our heart to believe, just like he opened Lydia's heart there in Philippi. It says the Lord opened her heart to believe. God hadn't opened her heart, she wouldn't have believed. There's many questions that come up with all of this. Why me? Why does God choose some and not others? Well, Deuteronomy 29:29 is a wonderful answer for that. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever." The secret things belong to God. That is, Lord, why did I have to go through that? Lord, why did you make me this way? Why did you give me green eyes instead of brown eyes? Lord, why did you place me in the family that you placed me in? Why was I born here and not there? Why was I born in this country and not that country? Those things we'll not understand until we get to heaven. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. When will I die? How will I die? What's the rest of my life going to hold? Those are the secret things. We don't know those things. Those are the secret things that belong to God. The things revealed belong to us. What's the things revealed? The Word of God. This belongs to us and to our children, that we may follow all the words of God's commandments. How do you know if God has brought you to himself, if God has chosen you? Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Well, how do you know if you're chosen? Well, if you believe the gospel, obviously, he brought you and he chose you. He brought you to himself. This doctrine is all through the Bible. The word predestined is there, the word election, God's chosen people, his sovereign choice. If you're a Christian, this verse, John 15:16, explains who you are. You are the Lord's. You belong to him because he is the one who brought you. He set his love upon you. He had you in mind when Jesus went to the cross. In fact, Jesus had you in mind. What does Jesus say when he goes to the cross? He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus knew he had you in mind. If you're a believer here today, some become troubled by this and ask, "Well, what if I'm not a chosen one?" Well, there's an easy answer to that. Believe today, and you will know you are the Lord's. Secondly, this verse explains or lays out clearly for you the purpose or calling for your life. The purpose of God's grace to you. What is it? Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will abide or remain." Fruit that will last. See, Christianity is active and busy. The one in whom Christ dwells is on the move. All through the Word of God, you see this, right? Those who follow the Lord are going, they're doing, they're working, helping, seeking, talking, building, serving, telling, giving, blessing, feeding, teaching, discipling, lending, sharing, building up, praying, God's people are on the move. They're to be fruit bearing. Why has God blessed you? Why has God had mercy on you? God said to Abraham, I have blessed you, I will bless you, that you might be a blessing. The purpose of God's blessing you is that you would be a blessing. Why has God set his love upon you? Well, to use you, to go, to be the means, to bear fruit, to produce. It's all over. It's all over the New Testament. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all the nations. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, I send you. You will be my witnesses. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how can they hear without someone telling them? And how can they tell them unless someone sends them? You are my ambassadors. You are the light of the world. A light can't be hidden. You are the salt of the earth. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Share with God's people in need. Associate with the lowly. Give food to the hungry, right? Drink to the thirsty. Clothes to the one who's naked. Visit the sick. Visit the prisoner. Even your enemy. Even your enemy. Right? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, it's going and doing and serving and blessing. What are we to be about? Why are we here? Why are we here on a Sunday? Well, my job is to equip you, encourage you, feed you from the Word of God so that you'll go out and be what God has called you to be, a fruit-bearing Christian. You're to be encouraged, built up, fed, nourished, challenged, convicted, and then go to the neighborhoods, to the workout, sports club, the gym, the office, the country club, the prison, the jail, the soup kitchen, the school, the hospital, the business park, the inner city, wherever God takes you. Well, there's all kinds of excuses we make, though, right? I'm afraid. I'm weak. What does Jesus say? I'll be with you. I'll give you power. All power has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Oh, but I'm not adequate. You're right. You're not. But Christ is. Christ is adequate. But I don't know the Bible. Okay. Then share what you do know. And learn and study it and read it. Well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, what do you like to do? What are you able to do? Pray for God to show you what your gifts are. Pray for fruit. It's God's will. He's going to answer that prayer. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. He wants you to be a fruit-bearing Christian, so pray, Lord, show me how I should bear fruit. How can I bear fruit? I remember reading a Puritan quote one time from the Puritan pastors. Those who are in God's house shouldn't loiter. Shouldn't loiter. That is, those whom God has chosen, when Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, that you should loiter. No, that you should go. Go and bear fruit. Those whom God has brought to himself, opened your heart to believe, opened your eyes to see, opened your ears to hear, will serve Christ. The Spirit will bear fruit. You'll see, you'll know a tree by its fruit. There are some who say the same excuse that Jonah gave, right? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't say, I'm afraid. He didn't say, I'm not adequate. He didn't say, I don't know my gifts. He didn't say, I don't know the Bible. Jonah just didn't want to go. I don't like those Ninevites. The bottom line is Christ's disciples are to be fruit-bearing. We're not all going to bear fruit the same way because we're all different. God has given you gifts that he hasn't given me. You'll talk to people I'll never get a chance to talk to. Wherever he takes you, though, you're to be bearing fruit. Lastly, thirdly, the privilege that is yours. What kind of fruit are we to be bearing? What's the privilege that is ours? says, go and bear fruit, fruit that will abide or last or remain. That it wouldn't just be a flash in the pan, momentary, fading thing, but it will last forever. What does he mean? I think he's talking about the greatest privilege in all the world, being a part of someone coming to know Christ, right? Telling others about God's mercy, being involved in that process of God drawing someone to himself, whether it's planting a seed, just a little comment maybe, or watering a seed someone else planted, or the privilege of harvesting that seed and growing seed, where someone comes to the end of the rope and they say, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Cry out to God for mercy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The greatest privilege in all the world is being a part of someone coming to know Christ. To be able to make an impact for eternity is one of the greatest privileges in all the world. I remember hearing a missionary one time in Slovakia who shared, we were on a mission trip there, he shared from Philemon verse 6. Philemon is just one little chapter. Philemon, you could say Philemon 1 verse 6, but there's only one chapter, so it's Philemon verse 6. Philemon is written this letter by the Apostle Paul. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ Jesus. Sharing our faith teaches us, right? Serves as a mirror for us to see God's blessing in our lives. Dr. Norman Taylor, I told you, was in a foxhole. He gave his life to Christ that day. He came back from World War I, spent the rest of his life serving as a missionary, a medical missionary in Mexico. This doesn't mean you have to do what Dr. Norman Taylor did. That's what God designed for his life. Do you have to be a missionary to bear fruit? No. You just have to be willing. Whatever God gifts you to do, wherever he takes you, that you would be his servant, that you would see everyone that God brings across your path as an opportunity, that you would be intentional about conversations. It means looking at people differently because they're the ones that God has used or that God has intentions to bless through you. When God said to Abraham, I've blessed you that you might be a blessing, it's not being a blessing to the tree, right? It's to people. It's to people. It means looking at people from an eternal perspective. I remember a woman that I knew 20 years ago named Wave Bradley, an older woman in a congregation I was serving. She said she read one little book that catapulted her into becoming a fruit-bearing Christian. And it was one little phrase in this little book that catapulted her into becoming a fruit-bearing Christian. The phrase was, any old bush will do. That is, God could have chosen any old bush when Moses was there in the wilderness and the Lord spoke to him through that burning bush. He could have chosen this one or that one or this one. Any old bush would have done. God used one in particular. And she saw herself finally as any old bush. God could use me to serve him. I just have to be willing to be available. I ask you today, where are you today in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ? Historical figure, truly man and truly God. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, ministered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You can walk along the Sea of Galilee where he called the disciples. You can walk along Capernaum. You can go out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and see what the mountains were like where Jesus saw them from the boat. He was arrested, died on a cross, placed in a tomb, rose again from the dead. He was truly man and truly God. He shed his blood, divine Savior, a life of infinite value, rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and sent his Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Christ, who's here with us tonight in this room, and he offers salvation to you, a new heart, as a gift received by faith. So I ask you tonight, do you know the grace of God in Christ? If you do, are you loitering in God's house? Are you a branch that is not bearing fruit? There's opportunities all around you. Use your blessings to bless others. Or are you burying your talents under a bushel? Where are you today? I encourage you today to polish the armor that God has given to you. The armor of God. You have your spiritual batteries charged. You've received soul food from the Word of God. You've been built up and strengthened in the faith. Now go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. You'll blink and another 10 years will be gone. Or more. Our greatest privilege in all the world is to be a servant of God. The greatest investment of all is to invest in other people's lives, that there might be abiding fruit, that you might see God's people come to know him and built up in him. May the Lord use each one of us. What wonderful news from God himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you for the word of God and pray that you would use us for the cause of taking the gospel to the world. May your blessing now be upon each one of us. Use us for your glory and your purposes. Bless our evening offering. Use these gifts and tithes and offerings to build your church here and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.